This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run on Friday, the 1st of July. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we're going to discuss the pushback against the Celcom-DG merger. But in the meantime, let's take a look at M40 households in Malaysia, because with the consumer price index hitting a five-year high of 2.8% and food inflation increasing to 5.2% year on year, middle-income households, known as the M40, are increasingly feeling the squeeze on their wallets.
So even in November last year, data from the Department of Statistics also showed that around 580,000 M40 households fell into the B40 income bracket due to COVID-19 pandemic, including which of course resulted in reduced income, some of them losing their jobs. Now, this represents approximately 20% of the middle income group with income between 4,800 ringgit and 11,000 ringgit. Now, given that the middle class is what sustains the economy through consumption and tax contributions, what are some of the policy measures that should be considered to address a vanishing M40 segment amid a high inflation environment?
So for some answers on this, we speak to Dr. Lee Kwok Aun, Senior Fellow at the Malaysian Studies Program of the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute. Kwok Aun, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. How are M40 households being affected by the rise in inflation just as the economy is recovering from a crushing two-year pandemic?
Hi, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Well, I think let's start by looking back at the past 2 years. And most importantly, we want to know what has happened to wages and income. And then we want to ask, well, what are the pressure points in terms of cost of living? So the pandemic, the MCO, economic downturn affected all layers. And there isn't really any distinct reference for this broad swathe of society we call the M40. But I think we can get a sense of the different impacts by looking at certain categories that the M40 are more likely to be in. And one useful reference is the annual salaries and wages survey. So from 2019 to 2020, overall median wage declined by 16%. But for SPM holders, which are more likely B40, it went down also by 16%. Degree holders who are more likely M40 went down by 11.5%. So quite substantial, but less than for SPM. Now, if you look at occupation, for lower paying jobs like sales and service workers, they saw a decline at the median of 19%, production line workers 13%, and the lowest paid elementary workers by 10%. Mm-hmm. For jobs closer to the M40 profile, professionals saw a decline of 6%, and technicians, which includes jobs like nursing, went down by 8%. So now we don't have the 2021 statistics. The 2020 report was released last July, so we hopefully will have the next report soon. And the recovery should be reflected in the wage growth in all sectors, but and these details will be of interest. So on the whole, what can we say about the pandemic effect? I think we want to get a handle on the current state of distribution of wages and wage growth. I think the mantra that the poorest were worst hit, you know, generally holds true. So the M40 were affected, not to downplay that, but not as badly as the B40. Now, on the consumption side, I think some of the clues of the state of the M40, I think we can derive from consumption categories. This is being very impressionistic here, but of course, M40 households can afford more than the B40 and also adopt, you know, certain habits or expectations which impact on their cost of living. They're more likely to be eating meat and higher quality food, to be eating at restaurants, taking holidays, to own cars, electronic appliances, and so on. And also education expenses, tuition classes, private schooling, and then private health insurance and using private health facilities. So, I mean, food prices are going up, you know, that's the headline, and even more so for eating out. And I think surely this is also having effect on all, including the M40 and adjustments that they need to make. I don't know the full details about how the prices of these items have gone up. But I don't think it's a simple question as well of, you know, what's going up and what's not. Mm-hmm. To me, the fundamental question is how much the M40 are undertaking as private consumption, and some are hefty commitments, you know, cars because public transport is not adequate, private healthcare to top up, right? Because even though there is an extensive public health system, and also for all kinds of durables, it's the high cost of imports due to a weak ringgit. So I think, yeah, that's sort of generally what I would say about the issue of wages, income, and cost of living.
I'm just wondering why should we be so worried about this shrinking middle class? What impact does it then have on the economy?
Well, the middle class, I mean, you would want to see with economic development, expansion in the middle. And I think we don't also think of it as M40, because there's always an M40 if you only, divide the society, you know, and the layers by P40, M40 and T20, there's always going to be an M40. But I think one of the desired objectives of economic growth and development is that there is greater convergence towards the middle, towards the median. So, you know, another way of looking at how the country is doing in terms of distribution, in terms of, equality or less inequality is how wide of a section is closer to the middle. And I think you see that in some societies that it is wider. If you look at the middle income and then you take a certain band from the middle, you know, plus and minus 20%, plus and minus 30%. So, and I think what is important is that, they would be the core in the sense of what is driving the economy for consumption, in terms of the ones who are also participating in the economy and in the democratic process. And I think occupying a lot of, you know, the jobs that are also driving the economy from the professionals and SME owners, even, you know, to all kinds of other skilled jobs. Of course, ideally, the skilled jobs, you know, that are facilitating the economy, that are making it run properly, you know, we would also want them to be highly paid jobs.
Mm. And you were talking about the fact that M40 may not be a particularly helpful description, given that there's always going to be an M40. So what do you make of the income classification levels that are currently being used at the moment here? Is it helpful to categorize the population according to the labels of B40, M40, T20? Does there need to be more, more nuance to this?
I think it still remains helpful. I mean, it's very easily understandable to say that this is the B40, M40 and a T20. I think just now trying to explain the median and plus and minus, right, is already getting a bit complex. And I think that's really a something more for the policymakers to pay attention to, in terms of, you know, how income distribution is proceeding. But for the M40, these sort of categories, I mean, I think it also depends on what is the issue. I think there is, if we're thinking about the concentration of economic power and wealth, then I think the T20, that's where sort of the labels at the extremes or the categories at the extremes become less useful. I think it should be zoomed in more on the, you know, T10 or maybe even the top 1% and how much of wealth is being concentrated there. I think if we're looking at the really desperate needs at the bottom, then B40 is also a bit too wide. Mm. So I think it depends on the question we're asking. And I think also we want to be looking at more geographic context. So as mentioned earlier, right, the M40 range between household income of 4,900 to 11,000, that's for the country as a whole. And yes, that is useful, but I think, you know, we also, now speaking, I think, to a primarily Klang Valley audience, want to refer to the figures for KL and Selangor, and the range for Selangor is, for the M40 is 7,000 to 14,400. For KL, it's 9,200 to 16,600. So yeah, I think to apply the more specific categories and these reference points is also important. And a third one, because these are referring to gross household income, the numbers that I was just referring to, and that's what is sort of the convention. I think it'll be helpful for there to be a bit more precision, because gross household income includes so many things. There are multiple income earners. There's also even the payments that are received from the government. There's some imputed income that is based on owner-occupied residences. So you don't actually rent out your place, but sort of a certain amount is added as though you were renting. I think if it can be reduced to just earned income of the households, that would provide a useful extra reference.
Hock An, the point is, how then are we going to find the solutions to alleviate the pressure that M40 households are facing? Or is this just really the reflection of the structural issues in Malaysia, you know, be it stagnant wages or premature deindustrialization?
I mean, I think that the challenges are very wide-ranging and very, very profound. Zooming in, I think, on some of the issues of M40 that are on my mind at the moment, I think, as I said just now, they're undertaking a lot of private expenditure and major financial commitments. When there is a public system, either already existing, such as health, or it's not really functioning, and not just for the M40, but for everyone. So I think this is the fundamental challenge about private transport, right? Cars and heavy loans, you know, for a very depreciating asset, such an unproductive way to spend money and to be, you know, financially committed. There should be a bigger discussion about the public system, how it's delivering and under-delivering. And I think there's particular relevance to the M40 because they are undertaking a lot. And I think in the advanced, we want to advance to an economy, right, where, you know, where the public system is functioning better for the mass, broader mass of society.
Hock An, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow of the Malaysian Studies Program at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute, talking to us about how the current inflationary environment is really affecting the M40 and the repercussions that has for the broader economy.
Yeah, because typically the M40 would be classified as the middle class. And I think it's very important to have a very broad middle class. You don't want too many people who are T20s, and certainly you don't want too many people who are in the B40s. You ideally like as wide a band as possible. Now, the point about the M40 is that, you know, we go back to the debate whether in the first place we should relook at some of the classifications. Are these too broad categories? But even then, do we have enough data in terms of what the M40, B40, even, well, maybe less the T20, what their needs are really? Because we've talked about this, and a lot of our commentators say that we never studied what is the consequence of this COVID-19? What are their precise requirements? But I think for sure certain things probably will help them. Things like tax reliefs targeted at M40 households that, you know, like maybe steer consumers to more targeted goods and services, which in turn then help the recovery of the middle class. Whether they should the government should consider existing support measures such as childcare. I think that's very important to ensure that women in the M40 households can go back to work immediately. They don't feel like they need to be the ones to sacrifice their careers to look after their children or even the elderly.
I think that was a point that Hock An made, especially regarding public facilities and how this can be strengthened to assist the M40. Because, you know, the smaller the M40 grows, that's also a smaller tax base that the government has to tap on moving forward. So really, it's something that requires a lot of attention from policymakers. 8:46 in the morning, we're heading into some messages. We're going to come back with a look at the Celcom-DG merger and some of the reactions to this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.